This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It was nice to jump into the video stream of Jeremy and Joe. Say hi to a lot of you. I had no idea. I forgot it was live on video. I knew it was live radio, of course, but I just came into the studio because Nate had to scoot out and there was an empty chair, and I'm like, oh, I'll just go in there and join Joe for a minute, get ready for my show, the Extra Point Show here. And I sat down and then I realized pretty quickly, wait a minute, there's a camera in front of me, so this thing's going to go on and I'm going to say hi to people, and they're going to say hi to me, and they're going to talk about me in the chat. So... And of course,
they were all complimenting your hair today.
They were all good.
It looks really good today, actually.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I did it. It took me a while this morning. And then they were complimenting my Syracuse quarter zip. So yes, I'm wearing Syracuse University gear, even though my team stinks in basketball and is not a part of this tournament. This is the first time, I believe this is true. This is correct. This is the first time that a whole class went through Syracuse for 4 years and never saw a tournament game. If you were a freshman at Syracuse 4 years ago, you did not see them play in the tournament your entire time in college, and it's the first time any freshman class entered went through 4 years and did not see them because they'd never gone that many years in a row without making it.
That's, wow, that's pretty crazy.
It's terrible, and I'm going to give you some stats also about the tournament in a minute that are terrible to me. But before I get to that, welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. Lots of hockey this weekend with Max. That's pretty cool. Always get a chance. There's some really good young hockey players. And I mean, like, you know, kids. Watching, I'm seeing some of these kids skate going, holy cow, man. So that was fun. Did that. And, of course, watched a lot of tournament action. I think that I'm a big college basketball fan. I have been. Even before I went to Syracuse, I was a Syracuse fan, and then I happened to go there. But I mean, like, I always loved college basketball, the tournament, even in high school. I've always loved college basketball, even more really than college football, to be honest with you. And I'm, you know, a football guy from the standpoint of just the theater of it, the tournament. But maybe because growing up, you know, Syracuse was my team, and they were in the tournament, and I think one of the first times I ever really cried after a sporting event was Keith Smart in 1987 hitting the shot to beat Syracuse for Indiana. Like, I've always loved it. It has changed for me, for sure. It's changed because I'm now more into the coaches and players maybe than the teams, because I'm watching some of these games and I'm like, I don't really care who wins. You know, there was a time where I really cared because it was Big East and you have pride in your conference, or you have rivals, you don't want to see them win. And a lot of that is still true. Like, I was very conflicted in the UConn game yesterday, to be quite honest with you, UConn against Florida, because I've never liked either school. But I actually do like Danny Hurley, although Danny Hurley's getting to be a little bit of as great of a coach as he is. Did you see the clip of Danny Hurley after the game yesterday? I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on. It's a little, yeah. You can tell it's getting a little up there in the ego.
Yeah, the whiny, like, yeah. Oh, hope they don't F you like they did us, he says to Baylor on the way out. You saw
it,
right?
Yeah, where he's running down the tunnel and he screams.
Well, he's walking down the tunnel and he looks at people from Baylor who are about to go on the court to play their game. And he says, hope you don't blank us like they blank. Hope they don't blank you like they blanked us, meaning the refs. Come on, dude. You've won two national titles. Your team wasn't as good this year, and you lost to Florida, who's a really good team, right? So I do like Danny Hurley, but that's not for me. Like, come on. Take your loss, all right? And I also, though, I want to root for Carlin Hartman. Grand Island's own Carlin Hartman, the assistant coach at Florida. So I was conflicted in that game. So I don't really have necessarily teams I root for. I do have teams I root against sometimes. I root for players. How about Roddy Gale? Do you know who Roddy Gale is? Okay. So Roddy Gale plays for Michigan. He's like one of their best players. He's the kid who scored a bunch of points towards the end of the game. They had this big comeback. They scored all these points. And I guess I didn't put two and two together, but then I did. Roddy Gale grew up in Niagara Falls. He went to Loupport High School. He went there until I think maybe his junior year, and then he transferred to a high school out in Utah and a basketball school, and then he went to Ohio State. And of all places, after 3 years to transfer from Ohio State, he transferred to Michigan. And he's been doing great for them. But Roddy Gale is a local guy. And I root for the local guys, I root for the local stories, the local kids and coaches and things like that. I'm watching Phil Martelli Jr.'s press conference. Phil Martelli, they lost. Which game that was? Oh, yeah, Bryant. Bryant, and then I got to look at who they lost to. But either way, so Phil Martelli Jr. has his press conference, and it was a really great press conference about somebody asked him a question about, hey, we know how much your family means to you, for them to be on this journey, Bryant getting into the tournament and then losing, what's it been? And he was very emotional talking about his family, and then he mentions that they had to, like his cousins, they drove to Buffalo and then flew out. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then he mentions Niagara. And I went back and looked. Yeah, Phil Martelli Jr. was an assistant coach at Niagara before moving on in the coaching world. So there's a lot of connections here to Western New York, and that's very cool. So I've seen that. I want to get to something else about the tournament in a minute. But as promised, Josh Schmidt, we have to give some love every day to who's leading the tournament and the Sal Sports Tournament Bracket Pool.
I just checked, and I'm in the top 100.
Ooh, are you really?
Yeah.
That's big time.
I'm in a seven-way tie for 88th place.
694 total complete brackets. 1,000 brackets actually signed up, but 694 actually completed brackets, which is amazing.
Mine doesn't look very good, though. I have St. John's in the final four.
Oh,
I have St. John's in the final now that I look at it again.
Yeah, Yana, she picked St. John's to win it all, so she's gonzo.
Yeah.
Max, my son Max, he has Florida winning it all, and he's still in it. I have Auburn winning it all. I'm still in it. But we are not anywhere close to the leaderboard. Here is your leaderboard on the Sal Sports CBSSports.com Bracket Challenge. And remember, what we did here was I promised you if we had 600 entrants, which we did, I would give a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop to the first place winner, a $50 gift card to the second place winner, and a $25 gift card to the third place winner. And it's all free to enter. It was. But you had to enter last week before we started. And we talked about it here. I tweeted it out. And I appreciate everybody going and entering. All I asked in return was, go subscribe to my YouTube channel where you see lots of great content. That's it. So here we go. You ready? Number one, Zachary Schrantz has 246 points. Number two, a friend of mine who is a basketball coach and football coach in Florida named Sean Huber. He entered this. He actually is number two with 233 points. I got to let him know that. Number three, Todd Victory. That's a cool name. I don't know if it's Victory or Victory, but He's at 232, tied with Jeffrey Podgers, Carl Vanderbrook, Mark Post, Michael Opoka, Pete Sadler, Sean Layston, Timothy Wilson, and Kimberly Holmes. Out of all of that group, everybody I just read, that's the top three. There's a big tie for third place. Out of everybody in the top three, they all have Florida winning it except for Kimberly Holmes, who has St. John, so she's going to lose some points. So if you are one of the names I just read, you are right now in the top three out of 694 completed brackets and have a chance for one of these prizes. Very cool on all of you. For me, I'm in 535th place. Okay, there's a reason for that. I'm going to get to it in a second. Yana Capaccio, 632. My wife's not doing too well. Max, 182nd place. He'll take it. He's doing pretty well. And where are you? What number?
My best is 88.
Wow.
I have 88, 293, and 575.
Okay.
So
88.
One clearly stands out, but I only have a max of 273 points that I can get remaining.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
So, it's not that far off the leaders, but
no.
I'm going to need a few miracles here.
So here's why I will tell you that part of the reason why I am in 535th place. Because in my brackets, I like to reward upsets, and I like to pick upsets. And you know we have not had this tournament? Upsets. I don't like it, okay? I don't like where it's gone. I don't like where it's going. I've made that clear. College sports. I'd like to get your thoughts on this as you watch the tournament. Are you all for all these blue bloods winning it and being where they are and getting into the Sweet 16? Or would you like to see some mid-majors and some upsets? Because I want to give you a stat. This comes to us from the Twitter account SB Unfurled. This is a St. Bonaventure blog. The Fans of the Bonnies, it's called. Not affiliated with St. Bonaventure University. But thank you very much. SB Unfurled. They do a really good job. And I saw this from them. This is amazing. Okay, some stats. 803-0550, by the way. And we're going to get to the Bills. We're going to get to the Sabres. I promise. But I want to go through this real quick. Sabres at the bottom of the hour with Paul Hamilton. Top of the hour, by the way. I'll let you know right now. Eric Turner from Cover One. Eric does a lot of film breakdown on NFL and Buffalo Bills players. He's done a lot on the Bills' new free agent signings. We're going to get to that with him and find out where a lot of these guys fit. Josh Palmer, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Joey Bosa. We'll talk draft, but Eric Turner at the top of the hour, Paul Hamilton at 10:30. Are you liking this kind of new way of college basketball and college sports, and particularly seeing this, what's happening in basketball? Or are you like me and say, man, I just don't like it. I know I sound like old man screaming at clouds, but folks, I'm going to give you some stats here from SB Unfurled. This is the first ever Sweet 16 that every single school is in a Power 4 conference. Every one of them. How about this? If you took throughout history of the tournament, the Sweet 16s every year, and counted up how many different conferences they represent, the previous low before this year was 7. There are only, get it, 4 conferences represented in this year's Sweet 16. 4. They're all the Power 4. That's it. Every single team in the Sweet 16 is from a Power 4 conference. The first Sweet 16 seed with no 11 or more seeds since 2007. That's been almost 2 decades. There are a record 7 SEC teams they're playing next weekend. Now, good for them. They got a lot of teams in, but it's just, again, another example. This is also where this really sucks. Regardless of the teams and the conferences, the average margin of victory in the first round, 16.7 points. They're not even close games. They're not close games. We had one buzzer beater last night. That was amazing. Did you watch Maryland on the buzzer beater? Wow. That was what you call double onions.
Was it a travel?
You know, it's a good question. I think by letter of the law, you could say so. But man, I don't know if I've ever... That just doesn't get called. Like, that's just too close and he's driving. And a lot of people said it's not. He was gathering. It was a gather step. I don't know. It was very close. Very close. And then Speaking of blowouts, in the first round, there were 10 wins of 25 points or more, 10 games, that happened. I mean, if you bet the favorites the first two rounds, you won money. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Now look, here's the offshoot. Here's the good part about it, if you want to say it that way. Look what you have coming up next weekend. It is a bunch of who's who in college basketball playing against each other. And you're going to get some incredible blue blood games. Okay? What do you got? Auburn against Michigan. Ole Miss against Michigan State. Florida against Maryland. Texas Tech against Arkansas. Kentucky, Tennessee should be great. Houston against Purdue. BYU, yes, they are now in a Power 4 conference. They're in the Big 12. Against Alabama. And Nate Oates. Duke against Arizona. All right, I think we've had that a few times over the history of the tournament. So that's great. I'm all for watching these blue blood teams play each other as you get later in the tournament. I'm all for it. But what are we doing with... There's no chance for these mid-majors anymore. This is the new reality of college sports and college basketball especially. When SB Unfurled tweeted out what they did with the stats, they were quote tweeting a couple others. SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12 have effectively pushed any chance for mid-majors to mount any effective impact, says Scott Brand, who is a YouTuber for college basketball. And David Warlock points out, again, the previous record for fewest conferences represented the Sweet 16 was 7. That happened a few times. Not only did you break that, you just shattered it to 4. That's it. They're all either SEC, Big 10, Big 12, ACC. That is the new Power 4, they call it. And it's here to stay, I think. Now, I would say expansion is part of this, right? I mean, everybody's kind of, you know, you get a team like BYU and you could say, well, they've been a mid-major or they've been in like not one of the Power 5. Now they are because of the conference, you know, realignment. And I get all that. It just sucks. I hate it. So there's my Monday. I was just saying musing. It's a rant a bit. I don't like it. And I love seeing, as much as I'm a Syracuse fan and love Syracuse, they haven't been there. They stink right now in basketball. They have. Hopefully they'll be better next year with Sadiq White and Kion Anthony coming to town and, you know, playing for them. But as much as that's the case, I love watching upsets and I love watching some of the Cinderella stories. And when you get to the 16 and Elite Eight, I'm fine with those teams when they lose and you get blue bloods. But it's always great to have a few of those stories. We have none this year. We have none this year because of this. It is NIL. It is Portal. It's the new reality, what we live in. 803-0550 is the number to call here if you want to join in on that discussion or anything else here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres with a nice win last night. Yesterday afternoon, I should say. It was only the 6th loss in regulation, I believe, for the Winnipeg Jets, Josh, at home. The 6th overall this year. 6th regulation home loss for the Winnipeg Jets this year. Nice game. I'm going to say what I said last week when they beat Vegas. And what was the other one? They had the back-to-back wins. They beat Vegas and...
That was their 6th home loss all season.
That was their 6th.
That's wild.
In regulation.
Yeah. But that's crazy. I didn't know they were doing that well at home.
I'm going to say what I said last week when the Sabres had a couple nice wins. It's nice. And I like seeing it. I was with some people yesterday who said, well, I just want to see them lose and get a better draft pick. I don't care about that stuff anymore. I just don't care. I know a lot of people do. I don't. Who cares? They've had great draft picks. They've had the number one pick twice, the number two pick a couple times. I mean, what do you need these great draft picks? You're going to get a good draft pick anyway. So I still like to see them win, but what does it matter, right? It's like at the end of the year, you get this, you feel good about what's happening, and then it just changes anyway because the year ends and everything is different. Man, I would do. J.J. Paterka look good. Boy, what is going to happen with him this offseason? I keep going back to what Elliot Friedman kept tweeting out about J.J. Paterka. Do you remember, Josh, leading up to the trade deadline, and he kept putting Paterka's name out there? He kept saying, Paterka, Paterka. He kept rising him up the boards. And then there was that whole stuff with the Rangers, we all thought. But the one thing he kept writing, which sticks with me, and I'm like, does he know something? Did somebody say they're going to do it? He kept saying and kept writing, Elliot Friedman, that Paterka is an offer sheet candidate. And he is an RFA. He could get an offer sheet. What does that offer sheet look like? I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times, an offer sheet, I'd be like, okay, you're going to get some really good compensation. Again, not what the Sabres need. They need good players, not good draft picks. They need good people on the NHL roster, not playing in the AHL. We're done with that. We've had that for years. Every year or two, I look up and I read, the Sabres are the youngest team in the league. Every few years, I look at the AHL standings and see, the Rochester Americans are doing really well. They have these great prospects. I see leaders at the top or goaltenders, whatever. How many times do we got to be there? I don't need to be there anymore. You want to go and root for losses because you think it gives them a better chance at the number one pick? Fine, have at it. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Give me players. Get the number one pick and trade the damn thing. Get the number five pick and trade it. For guys who can play now on this team in 2025, 26, I should say.
If you're looking at offer sheets for J.J. Paterka this offseason, the compensations go like this. So in the range of $6.8 to $9.1 million, the team that is offered, like, if he lost, if they got...
What would the Sabres get if they rescinded him to a team that offered that?
The Sabres would get a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick in next year's draft. If it goes from 9.1 to 11.4, they get two first-round picks, one second-round pick, one third-round pick.
Hold on, two firsts, one second, one third?
Yep, and then $11.4 million or more, the Sabres get that team's next four first-round picks.
I don't think anybody would be putting that much.
No, but the way I look at it with this whole offer sheet thing, if you have a team come to you and say, hey, we've offer sheeted J.J. Paterka for like 7 years, $7 million, you just say, cool, thanks, and go sign that contract. Like, the Sabres are in that position where he's a player you want to keep, at least I think anyway. I don't know why you wouldn't want to keep him, and you have the cap space. Right? Like, you have.
I think what you're saying is this, and I agree with you. Let the other team do the negotiation.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens basically said, Lamar, if you can go find another offer, go ahead. And see, and they had the right to match it.
Right.
Now, and he still stayed. This is exactly, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Fine. You want to do that? Match it. I would rather have J.J. Paterka than these draft picks.
Now, if you get in the upwards of $9 million conversation, then you kind of can weigh things because you can get more bang for your buck there. But that's kind of just how much you want to pay the guy, right? Like at that point. But that's a completely different conversation than if someone's offering him $7 million, which you've already given to five other players. Like, I think it's just so what if he gets offer sheeted? That's how I feel about it because you're just going to match it.
I agree. And what is a team really forcing the Sabres into a tough situation with offer sheets? They shouldn't be. They have enough money, right? Like, a lot of times they do it because, hey, we'll offer. They can't match it. That's not the case here.
That happened last year with the Oilers. They lost two players.
Both to the Blues.
Yeah, because they couldn't match the offer sheets.
What's interesting about this is this all could be impacted because they don't have to really offer Jack Quinn all that much, it appears. Maybe you can, you know, he's going to be an RFA. I don't think he's getting an offer sheet from anybody for that kind of money. So you can offset it, too. Let's go to Mark in North Tonawanda before we hit the first break and hear from Paul. What's up, Mark?
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I just was listening, and that was an awesome win by the Sabres last night. I'm always looking at the bright side of things. So the thing I want to say, though, I do care about the draft pick they get because I do not want them to draft any small players. There's a player I really would like to see him draft, Porter Martone, 6'3", 208 pounds, and they said he plays like Tkachuk. Sign me up because the Sabres need players like that.
Yeah, you care about the player they draft, but you don't care where they're drafting. You care about the player they draft, but my point is I don't care where they're drafting. I don't need losses to be drafting first or second. They're going to get a good pick anyway.
Well, I'm happy whether they win or lose because he's not going to last past the fourth pick in the draft. So that's where I'm heading, and I'm a big Sabre fan, so.
What's his name?
Don't do good.
What's his name?
Porter.
Yeah, Martone. Porter. I see him. From I'm looking at him now, Mississauga.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Perry. Yep.
Yeah, you got a 6'3", 207. I don't know a lot about these prospects. I haven't looked into them. That'll happen at some point. Got enough on my mind with the Bills prospects, free agency in the draft. But thank you for that. Porter Martone, you're right. I mean, they would have to probably be in the top three or four to draft him if you want that guy, and that, you know, plays like Kachuk, I'll take a guy like that. The point I'm making is, and I appreciate the call, Mark, I don't need draft picks. I don't need, great, give J.J. Pachurka an offer sheet. And if you think he's not worth paying that much, that's a different conversation than, oh, my God, give me the draft picks. They've had draft picks. Who cares anymore? I don't care about them anymore. I don't care about prospects. Prospect fatigue, right? That's what we call it now. I think Jeremy said that a while back. I don't care about the picks. I don't care about the prospects. I care about this team getting better now, quickly. How do you do that? Get your picks and trade them. That's what you can do. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton on the way next. Nice win for the Sabres in Winnipeg. Obviously, it doesn't mean anything in the standings, but what does it do for, you know, this team going forward and closing out the season here with about, what, 10, 12 games remaining? We'll do that with Paul Hamilton after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, Paul Hamilton joins me now on the West Her Hotline after the Sabres go to Winnipeg yesterday and come up with a nice victory. They beat the Winnipeg Jets 5-3 after the empty net goal at the end. Nice, by the way, Brian McLeod, nice backhand over top of everybody to get it in the net. Paul, how did they do it? The Sabres go to Winnipeg and give them their sixth regulation loss at home this year.
Yeah, and the Jets had been waiting for them since Thursday. For Buffalo, it was 3 games in 4, and back-to-back, they were in Minnesota the day before. Winnipeg came in with a 714 points percentage, meaning 71%, which isn't too bad. 25-5-4 at home. They hadn't lost at home in regulation since January 18th. They were 7-0-1. So everything was against them, and Buffalo does not usually do well at all in back-to-backs. But, you know, they got great goaltending from James Reimer, who actually stood on his head. They got a break that Hullabuck was not in goal, and Eric Comrie played like he did against when he was a Buffalo Sabre. And, you know, it was a gutty effort, I thought. You know, it wasn't just Reimer. I mean, you know, the Sabres, you know, yeah, they had to rely on Reimer, but they were very opportunistic, you know, in their scoring to be able to pick up some goals. I thought as the game went on, they got better. I thought in the third period, it was a really gutty effort. And the shorthanded goal by Tuck, I think, tells you a lot. I mean, first of all, Tuck had blocked a shot, a key shot, and the penalty kill. And then Clifton, you know, right near the blue line, just dove to get a puck out, I mean, and got there and tipped it up to McLeod, who puts a perfect pass on Tuck's stick to send him in alone. I mean, so you saw desperation, you know, in that penalty kill. And in a time where they shouldn't have been killing a penalty, it was absolutely a penalty on Scheifele, mm-hmm. who, like, had a lock on Samuelson's stick. He grabbed his stick and just held on to it, but the referee at center ice, this was behind the net, the referee at center ice, they had their back to him. Well, he thought it was Samuelson committing the penalty and called it. There's a referee standing right there looking at the two of them, and he didn't say anything. You could obviously see Samuelson's stick was being held. So Buffalo, instead of being on the power play, was shorthanded. So it was kind of justice, you know, that they actually scored a shorthanded goal because they should have been on the power play.
Sabres win yesterday in Winnipeg. J.J. Pachurka gets the scoring going, and he has now 22 goals in the season. We just had a short discussion on him. I want to ask you about this, Paul. He's going to be an RFA. We've talked about him before. I just keep sticking in my head that Elliot Friedman kept mentioning he would be an offer sheet candidate from some team, you know, this offseason. What do you think that looks like? How do you think they proceed with J.J. Paterka? Will they just let another team kind of negotiate for them and give them an offer sheet? Will they want to get ahead of this? How do you see all this playing out?
Well, they could have got ahead of it since July 1st. I mean, he was eligible to be re-signed at any point during that time, but I think the Sabres maybe learned their lesson from all the contracts they signed. They signed people to like that early, and some of them I think they're regretting now, and so they didn't do it with any of them. You know, whether it was Byram, whether it was Paterka, whether it was Quinn, whether it was Levi, whether it was McLeod, none of them, you know, got early contracts. So, you know, I wish there were more offer sheets in the NHL, and every time there is one, then everybody thinks, all right, now we're going to go. We're going to get offer sheets. And the St. Louis Blues had two guys from the Edmonton Oilers that they signed offer sheets, and they got those players, Holloway and Broberg, and they've been very useful players to St. Louis. But the NHL has this goofy thought, well, I don't want GMs to get mad at me. You know, what? It's in the collective bargaining agreement. You're doing nothing wrong. What do you mean you don't want GMs to get mad at you? You know, and so I would love to see offer sheets around the NHL be used as a tool. But everybody gets all excited that, well, now we're going to see offer sheets. I hope so around the league, but because I think it's a great way to build your team if you can get a really good young player to an offer sheet and get him on your team. I think it's great. And yeah, you got to give up some picks. And I'm like, so what? I mean, you got to give up some picks if you can get that kind of a player. And yeah, I think J.J. Paterka would be a candidate for an offer sheet, but I'm not convinced in the least that offer sheets are going to become a thing again just because they were used last year.
I also don't really care for the picks in return, to be quite honest, Paul. We've been down this road. As you say, who cares for the team giving up the picks? I say in the Sabres situation, I don't need the picks. They've had a lot of picks. They picked first in the NHL recently. They've picked second a couple times recently. They have good prospects. I'm tired of the picks. I don't need the picks. I want players here.
And forget about the goals. I think what I've liked about J.J. Paterka is I've seen an improvement in his overall play. You know, I've seen him back check hard and break up some plays to get back and help out. I've seen after a turnover on a power play, him hightail it back to try to break up a play and doing so. Is it perfect yet? No. But I still think it's been good. I think it's been better. I think it's been quite a bit better, actually. So it's obviously something he's been working on in his game to get better at. So, you know, I think not only are we talking about goals, and certainly goals have been going in for him lately. He's coming off a 28-goal season, and that was his 22nd goal, and he's been on quite a streak. And really, he was out with injury and came back and didn't miss a beat. I mean, he scored in three games in a row since coming back. So, you know, he was ready to come back from injury, and that is not hindering him whatsoever.
You mentioned Ryan McLeod. I can't imagine this general manager would trade Matthew Savoy, bring Ryan McLeod in, and then all of a sudden just bail on him after a year. He's going to be a restricted free agent as well. What do you think the situation is with him and how they feel about him and the season that he's had?
Well, he's doing, I think, exactly what they felt, because I remember when Kevin Adams traded for him, he goes, we feel there's an upside in his offense, you know, from what there was in Edmonton. He was, and I said it when they made the trade, because a lot of people in Buffalo were upset. Well, they traded Savoy for him. Yeah. I believe there were, what, 5 number one picks in Rochester right now. Savoy could have been number 6. Yeah. You know, and so you've got all this, I call it currency. They all can't come up and be Buffalo Sabres. There's too many of them. You know, so.
And by the way, Matthew Savoy has only had a cup of coffee with the Oilers this year for 4 games and sent back down.
Right. And you know what? He may become a fantastic hockey player. He also may become a bust. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Nobody knows. And, And McLeod was exactly what Buffalo needed. They did not have a player like that. You know, good teams have a very good two-way center that they can count on. And, you know, he brings speed, which Buffalo didn't have a lot of. He wins faceoffs, which Buffalo didn't have a lot of. And you can use him in a lot of different situations. And that offensive upside may have even been better than they thought from what they've seen so far this year. And a lot of his goals, if you've noticed, have come because of the speed. He'll pull away from the defense and give himself a breakaway. The shorthanded goal the other afternoon, he pulled away and got the shorthanded goal. So you'll see that from him too. So, yeah, I think definitely you've got to get him signed. I think he has proven that his worth as a Sabre, even if you want to go last night or yesterday afternoon, mm-hmm. the backhand from in front of Reimer with the net open, you know, and he backhands it the length of the ice almost, and gets it to the net to get the get them the empty net goal. He made two plays that helped them win that hockey game. That shorthanded pass to Tuck to put him in, and to get that goal, and then to get the clincher into the empty net. Plus, you know, it's a four-point night for him, or afternoon. Yeah. I keep saying night. It was afternoon. It was a four-point afternoon for him. So, definitely he would. And I feel the same way about Byram. You made a really good trade. The Mittelstadt has not worked out at all. He didn't even last a year, or just a year, in Colorado, and off he went to Boston. Byram, I think, has, you know, turned the corner here in Buffalo and played very well. And, you know, you make a good trade there. I think you have to find a way to get him signed too.
I'm glad you brought up James Reimer. You mentioned his name right there on the McLeod goal. Boy, I was so happy for him yesterday. You could not lose that game after the performance he put on.
It was crazy. And he only got beat. The only goal he gave up in the beginning went in off Malenstein's skate. I'm almost positive the shot by Ehlers was tipped by Power. The way the puck took off and kind of lofted, it kind of shot up. It just seemed, and the stick appeared to be in the way. I couldn't tell from the replay, but I'm pretty sure that hit Power's stick and went up on him. But other than that, I mean, he just was save after save after save. I was writing after the game. I'm like, I can't put every save in here that was a fantastic save, or I'll be sitting here writing all night. It was just, you know, and in the third period, as I said, I thought the Sabres played a little bit better. They still needed him to make the big saves at the big time, but I thought the Sabres, you know, tightened up a little bit in the third period and kind of got more into the game. And it wasn't a game that the Sabres were – I mean, I think they gave everything they had, because it's, you know, when you're in 3 and 4 playing in all different cities, I mean, you weren't in the same city for any of the games. You know, you've got this is the game that both Ruff and Granato have talked about, where you've got to learn how to win with your B game. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did there. You know, they weren't going to be able to get up to their A game because of the situation they're in. But that doesn't mean you can't win the hockey game. You know, and that's what good teams have figured out. And Sal, look at, you know, what you look at the team now, and they're starting to learn a little bit, but I think to be a good team, this little stretch here, you know, let's analyze it a little bit. They've played pretty well throughout this stretch, and have shown some improvement. They've beaten Edmonton. They've beaten Vegas. They've beaten Boston. They've beaten Winnipeg. Other than the Detroit game, though, the only game that's really the only game they should have lost, that a good team would have lost. And that's what they got to learn, what they did in Winnipeg. Minnesota, you played 50 good minutes, and you played 10 horrendous minutes, and you lost a hockey game because of 10 minutes in a game. That's where, you know, a good team wins that hockey game, because in the first period, where Buffalo played great, they had at least four or five grade A scoring chances, didn't score in any of them. They could have had a 3-0 lead easily in that game. And that's where, you know, they got to get back. Utah, you're set up to get a 6-on-4 trailing 3-2, and nobody on the ice is yelling for Tage Thompson, who doesn't know there's a delayed penalty, to hand Utah the puck. And you get a bad break, and it goes back in your own net. These are two games where when you become a better team, you right now are on a 5-game winning streak and won 6 out of 7. Just little things. We're talking about very little things that could be the difference between them being on a 5-game winning streak right now and those two losses in Utah and Minnesota that were right there to win. Detroit, no. I know they were only a goal down, but they didn't play well at all in Detroit. That is just one of those games you're going to lose. And that's where I think when you're looking at this team getting better, that's what they have to learn. To be on a 5-game winning streak right now instead of winning 3 out of 5.
Speaking of Detroit and the number 5, it's been 5 games since that Detroit game. The last time Josh Norris actually suited up for this team, he's a guy that's had injuries. The Sabres trade for him, and suddenly he's out of the lineup right away. A, do you have an update on Joshua Norris or any other injuries, obviously, for us? And B, is this something Sabres fans should legitimately be concerned about with a guy that has had an injury history?
Oh, with 4 games and 6, they're not going to practice today, obviously. And, you know, we'll see it a morning skate tomorrow. He hasn't practiced with the team, but Zucker came right back into the lineup without practicing with the team, a morning skate, and was back in. So, you know, we'll see tomorrow against Ottawa in the morning skate where he's at, if he's at, even out there. Lindy Ruff, you know, as watching his press conferences throughout these games, never ruled it out that it could happen. You know, he was hoping to get him back on the ice towards, as he said, the end of last week. Again, Buffalo's wasn't doing a lot of practicing. They were basically playing games. So, you know, we'll see where, you know, Norris may be down there skating right now, you know, and we may see him in the morning skate tomorrow. We may not, but at least it sounds like if you know, he's close. But we'll see where it. I'm sure he would love to play against the Senators tomorrow.
Real quickly, Yuri Kulik, anything on him?
He was not on the trip. Okay. Normally, when you're in concussion protocol, you're going to be in that for at least 7 days. So he wasn't with them for 7 days. They left on Sunday, came back on Sunday. So. Again, we'll see where he's at when they get back. We'll see if he's back on the ice tomorrow and how he's feeling. But Lindy, with him not even being there, when he was asked about him, during the press conferences, he basically was like, well, I don't really have an update because he really wasn't with him. So we'll see what that amounts to and how he's feeling after over a week now.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Have a great rest of your week, but I'm sure we'll catch up a little bit later. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton right there on the Western Hotline. His appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here very quickly, get to the top of the hour. Eric Turner of Cover One is going to join us to break down the Bills' new free agents on video and what he sees.
All right, here we go. 3.7 seconds left. Maryland has not made a shot in the last 2:27. If they don't make one here, their season is over. Gillespie to inbound. He finds Queen. Queen turns, puts it up at the buzzer, and in! Maryland is headed to the Sweet 16 for the second time in 22 years. It's the freshman, Derek Queen. He's a Maryland hero.
That was Tyler Lochte of WMUC Radio. I believe that is a student radio station at the University of Maryland. And very cool when you hear that, right? That's very cool when you get those calls from the student stations. I know it was High Point was playing Purdue, I think it was. And they were doing a good story on TV about the High Point broadcasters. And they showed the crew, the High Point crew, they were doing the radio, And these kids were just having so much fun. The smiles on their faces. They're at the tournament calling play-by-play. How cool is that?
Have you ever heard their play-by-play?
No.
It's like they went viral for it on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
And they're hilarious.
They just have fun with it?
Yeah, because they do play-by-play more so like fans. Like they just like really get into it. Like they do a very good job.
Yes.
I don't want to discredit them by saying
sure.
that. But there are.
It's just unique.
Right. There are moments though where it's like they just like the color guy just goes crazy, and then the play-by-play guy is trying to like keep it on the rails and everything. But they're getting so excited.
Yeah.
And again, no disrespect to them because I don't want to make it sound like they're just doing it as fans because they do a very good job.
But I would say this.
It's a really cool experience.
It's a different way. It's unique. They're a student station, so good for them. And they got highlighted on CBS, so which was cool. Or whichever station it was on at the time.
It was CBS, I think.
Yesterday in the car, I couldn't watch some of the games, so I had to turn it on Sirius XM. Jason Benetti was calling a couple games in the early. He is amazing. Jason Benetti is one of the greatest play-by-play announcers of our generation, and he does everything now. I don't know if he does football, actually. I haven't heard him do football, but certainly baseball. He's about the White Sox. He's been with I think he went to Syracuse. I think he's from Central New York, if I remember. But either way, he was phenomenal on the call on the basketball games that I listened to yesterday. So he's really, really good at what he does. That was fun to kind of listen to him driving around, call the early games yesterday for the NCAA tournament. And obviously the Sweet 16 kicks off on Thursday, the Final Eight. That's Thursday, Friday, the Elite Eight on Saturday, Sunday. Then we get to the Final Four in a weekend. All right. Eric Turner, cover one. You might be familiar with his work. He's been on WGR before. We've done some stuff together. Does a great job breaking down film of NFL players, bills, schemes, things like that. I asked him to come on to provide some insight into what he's seen from Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Joshua Palmer, and Joey Bosa, and how they may fit into what the Bills like to do. So Eric Turner from Cover One next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.